as one touch. Then a new life began, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever.
Myself into trouble over St. Patrick's Day or any other day of the year, and I'm not going to do it this morning. I come from the north of Ireland, and we were greatly affected by what is called the Protestant Reformation, so we don't celebrate saints except those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Very well-known passage of the Word of God, but a passage that has thrilled and challenged my heart as I have come back to it to consider it with you this morning. I want to remind you that these are the words of Jesus, so if you take exception to them, please talk to Him about it. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of His Word. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come. And we come with the desire upon our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted in our midst this morning. For He has promised that when He is lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. And Father, we come with the desire for any in this meeting today who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that even today they might come and find in Him eternal life. Father, bless Thy Word. Grant to us that we might not hear it as the Word of man, but as it is indeed the very Word of God. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning and this evening, we're going to be considering the invitation that is given by the Lord Jesus in verses 28, 29, and 30 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I don't want to make the mistake that some have made in suggesting that it is two different invitations. But I want us to learn that it is indeed two parts of the same invitation. When Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," and that's what we're going to look at this morning. And then He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He's saying exactly the same thing. He's dealing with exactly the same subject. You don't come to know Him as Savior today and then somewhere down the road decide that, yes, you're going to take His yoke upon you and begin to learn of Him. But we're going to look at two aspects of this same invitation this morning and this evening. Let me say to you, I've been following Wake Forest since my son went to that school. And my son is actually with them in Milwaukee. And I'm going to be here tonight, and the game will be on television. And if I can be here tonight on the Lord's Day, and I would be here whether they were playing in my living room or whether they were playing in Winston-Salem or anywhere else, your place, beloved, not because I'm preaching, but because Jesus will be here, is to be gathered with the people of God in the midst, with the Lord in the midst. But I want you to think with me this morning of the words of the invitation in context. And dear old brother said to me one time, he said, "Brother, if you take the words out of context, you make them a pretext. You take it away from being what God really says." And one of the problems I face in the days in which we live is people who don't know what the Word of God says, but they expect to know what it means. If you don't know what it says, you don't stand a chance of ever knowing what it means. Jesus began to upbraid. What does that mean? It means to chastise verbally. I want you to grasp this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, He in whose mouth there was no guile. He who is perfect in love and in all things. He began to chastise verbally, listen to what it says, the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done. I want you to stop with me this morning and realize that the words that we're going to look at, Jesus really meant them. He meant them with every ounce and every fiber of His being. And I want you to notice that Jesus, before He gives the invitation, He gives the alternative. I want you to grasp that. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida." Why? Because you haven't repented. And He reminds them that had the same works been done in Tyre and Sidon, the people of Tyre and Sidon would have repented. Now, what is He saying? He's speaking about the eternal danger that these people are in. He's expressing to them that this great spiritual danger that they are in is something that they need to be warned about. Someone told me once that they like to go to church and come out with that nice warm feeling inside them that makes them feel good for the rest of the week. I've never been in that business. I don't know how it feels. If a person comes into this meeting this morning and doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and leaves this meeting not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but has a warm feeling inside them that's going to carry them through the rest of the week, beloved, they have not heard the words of Jesus Christ. And they have not heard the warnings that He gives. He says to the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida, He says, "Listen, look back into history at what God has done to those who refuse to hear His word. Look back into history." And let me tell you something. Jesus could speak with authority about Tyre and Sidon. And Jesus could speak with authority about Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew exactly what happened, and He knew exactly why it happened. It was the judgment of God upon sin. He knew the danger that people who didn't trust Him, who hadn't repented, are in. What about you and I this morning? What is the purpose of our hearing the Word of God? Is it that God, through His Word, might warn sinners of the danger they're in? Is that God, through His Word, might break through the hardened shell that covers so many of us and break right into the very depths of our hearts and our beings and warn us of the eternal realities that are round about us? I traveled away on Friday with our baseball team from the Christian school. And one young man sat in the front, and as we were driving down the road, he looked at me and he said, "Preacher Gould, Do you believe in the end of the world? And I said, yes. And he looked at me with tremendous intensity and he said, do you believe that Jesus is coming? And I said, yes, sir, I do. I believe that the Lord Jesus is coming to take His redeemed people to be with Himself. He said to me, I've been looking at a video on the tribulation and all that's going to happen after Jesus comes. And I turned to him and I said, Grant, are you saved? And he said, I think so. I said, let me tell you something, Grant. If you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the tribulation. You don't have to worry at all. You just need to have a heart for others to see them saved before Jesus comes. Tell me, would you say the church of today is marked with the warnings that Jesus gives? Would you say today that the church has listened to the warnings that Jesus gives? You see, there are people around us every day, and they're in exactly the same danger that these cities that Jesus began to upbraid were in. Eternity. That line that determines where they will spend eternity. Whether they live for eternity with Christ because He is their Savior, or will they live for eternity without Him because, like the people of the cities of the plain, they refuse to hear God's Word and they refuse to repent. I want you to understand this morning that Jesus knew not only about Tyre and Sidon, but He knew about Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and He knew the privileges that they had experienced. He knew the privileges that had come into their lives. You know, I think must be one of the most awful things to fear is to come every Sunday to a church like this where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and to go out into eternity and miss heaven. See, I'm not being cruel when I say this, but I believe that those who are in hell will be able to remember with great clarity every time they heard the gospel. They'll be able, it'll be like having a perfect memory. They'll be able to remember the preachers that they laughed at, that they didn't like, that they criticized, who preached about the person of Jesus Christ, and they'll be able to remember every opportunity they ever had to get saved. Brother McNeil was speaking this morning about a young man. They're sitting between his mom and dad, put their hands up to say that they were saved, and this young man realized that he wasn't. There may be a parent in this meeting this morning, and you've never listened to the warnings that Jesus gives. And your children may be on their way to heaven, and you're not. Or there may be children, and you don't want to listen to the message that your parents believe. Oh, I know you've got all your own reasons. And I know how hard it is to grow up in a Christian home. I've got two boys who tell me about it all the time. And it's true. Anybody can flow with the stream. But to swim against the stream, to publicly declare that you know Jesus Christ, that's different. That's real. And Jesus knew the privileges Because they had seen Jesus and heard him and seen the mighty works that he had done and still wouldn't change. But not only that, Jesus knew the darkness of the human heart. I heard a man saying recently, there are people out there who are just longing to know the Savior. Don't ever believe stuff like that, my friends. That's not true. No man out there living in sin longs to know the Savior unless the Spirit of God does a work of conviction of sin upon his heart. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this invitation that Jesus gives, for he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I want to tell you, it's an invitation to sinners. But I want to tell you, it's not an invitation to all sinners. You say, "Gould, you're a heretic." No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Jesus designated those sinners who would hear and would come. Listen to what he says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." If you work, you go into work tomorrow, and you say to the person beside you, who works beside you, who's not saved, you say to them, "Tell me, how do you live under the burden of sin that you're carrying? How do you live laboring every day under this enormous burden of sin and guilt?" And they'll look at you and say, "What on earth are you talking about?" Because they're not laboring under a burden of sin and guilt. They think sin is pleasure that God doesn't mind them having, if they even take God into their thinking. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he's speaking to a people who have been made to feel the weight of sin. You see, sin today is not a serious thing in the minds of men and women. Disobeying Jesus Christ, disobeying God's word is not a serious thing, neither in the nation nor in the churches. That's true. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and I heard this invitation to come to him, the only time it affected my heart was when he had, first of all, by his Spirit, convinced me of my sin and convicted me of my need. Before that, my sin was my pleasure, not a burden that I was carrying. But I'll tell you, God began speaking to me in July of 1966, and I didn't get saved until September 1966. And I want to tell you, every day my burden of sin got heavier and my laboring underneath it got worse. Why? Because God, by his Spirit, was impressing upon me not only the seriousness of my sin, but the urgency of the danger that I was in. The urgency of the danger that I was in. And Jesus says, "Come unto me." Now, I want to tell you that we're not told what was said, but these words of Jesus are a response to something that someone said. It says in verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said." And then he goes on to speak to them about coming under the burden of their sin.
Come unto me.
I want you to notice, first of all, that it's a person. It's a person to whom we're invited. Some people think that they're saved by joining a church. Some people think that they're saved by signing a card. Some people think that they're saved by walking the aisle of a church. And sometimes God uses some of those things. But salvation only comes through a personal meeting with Jesus Christ. I listened with interest in the Sunday school this morning as Brother McNeil said something that I have believed for a long time. That the conversion of the Apostle Paul was a pattern, and that he would have been able to take you right to the very spot where it took place. And he knew the very moment in his life that it took place. See, the Bible says it's like being born. Sometimes I'd like to forget when I was born, but I can't. And I'll certainly never forget when I was born again. Never forget when I was born again. Bible talks about salvation as being marriage to Christ. Your wife would be horrified if you told her that you forget the day you were married. Your husband would be horrified if you told him that you forget the day. It's a day when a person comes into a living, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. How could you ever forget where you were? How could you ever forget when it happened? You couldn't. It's an invitation to people who feel the weight and the burden of the sin that they're carrying. It's an invitation for them to come to Jesus Christ and to see that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the answer to their problems. Oh, I want to emphasize that to you today. Jesus Christ alone is the answer to the problems of the human heart, to the sin question, to the burden and the laboring under that burden of sin. It's an invitation that is brought to our hearts, and I want you to listen to this, not only by the words of the preacher, but by the working of the Holy Spirit. The night I got saved, five of us had promised we'd be in church, but we were going out drinking after that meeting, and we had to get to the drinking club before it closed its doors at 8:15. So if this preacher preached too long and we had to wait for a bus, we weren't going to get there. And I'm telling you the truth, I'm not boasting. That night, the Word of God was preached, and four of those young men, as soon as the preacher said amen, they were out the door, and they were gone to the bus stop, they were on the bus, and they were down to the drinking club, but I wasn't able to move. You see, they had heard the message with their ears from the lips of the preacher, but I had heard the message in my heart in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And I knew that night that God was warning me of the great danger that my soul was in. Jesus gives an invitation to come to Him. And I want in the last moments that we have to speak to you about what He invites you to. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First thing he invites you to is to lose your burden of sin. Oh, I want you to think about that this morning. I love Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And I love to picture Bunyan, the picture that Bunyan drew when he came to the cross. And he says, immediately, the burden rolled off my shoulders. No one can do that but Christ and Him crucified. No one can ever remove the burden of your sin but the one who says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. And he says, I'll remove totally, not little bit by little bit, I'll remove completely, I'll remove immediately, I'll remove eternally the burden of sin that you have been laboring under. You know, this message is so glorious. It makes me wonder sometimes why people aren't lining up at the doors of churches to come to Christ. But they're not, are they? Because it's when the Spirit of God moves upon the heart that people see the need of losing this burden of sin. And Jesus says, the only way you're ever going to lose the burden of your sin is by coming to me. Coming to me. You know, it's not only the removal of your burden of sin, it's the end of your labor trying to make yourself good enough to be accepted by God. Remember hearing a dear old preacher, and Brother McNeil mentioned him this morning, Willie Mullen. He says, one day, sitting out in a field, I stopped trying and I began trusting. I stopped trying to please man. I stopped trying to feel good about myself. I stopped trying to please God. And I began to trust in the work that Jesus Christ had done for me. You see, it's not only that God takes away the burden of your sin. He stops this idea of you laboring under that burden, trying to make your way to heaven. You know, you may find this strange, but there's not one person in this meeting this morning that deserves to go to heaven. Not one. And there's not one person in this community that deserves to go to heaven. And there's not one person in this nation that deserves to go to heaven. And there's not one person in this world that deserves to go to heaven. And that's why the invitation of Jesus Christ is so glorious and so wonderful. For He says to you and I who are under the burden of sin, come unto me and I'll remove the burden. And I'll end the laboring. I'll stop you working for salvation. And you'll come to that place where instead of trying, you're trusting what Jesus has done. I want to suggest to you that it's the rest of faith in the person of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard someone saying, in fact, I've heard it on many occasions, the preacher saved me. Well, you're in trouble. I'm arrogant enough to think a lot of this preacher, but I couldn't save anybody. Couldn't save myself. Don't want anybody to start trusting in me and putting their dependence on me. Because I'll tell you, their hearts would be in greater turmoil than they've ever been in. But oh, the joy when we see sinners coming under the burden of their sin. Coming to Christ. Losing the burden of their sin. Ceasing to labor. And finding that rest of faith in the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. How Peter, when he's preaching in the Acts of the Apostles, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Did Peter believe in joining a church for salvation? Absolutely not. Peter believed in believing on Jesus Christ in a rest of faith that we're no longer depending on what we can do, but we're trusting completely on what He has done. What He has done. It's not only the rest of faith in a glorious Savior, it's the rest of trust in a glorious finished work. You know, my beloved, the more I study the Word of God about Calvary, the more it rejoices my heart. The more I see what God in Christ did on that cross, the more I realize there's nothing left for me to do. Simply trust in what He has done. Everything that I needed, everything that I need now or will need till eternity, Jesus Christ finished when He died on the cross. And when He cried, "It is finished," like every other word in that book, He really meant what He cried. He really meant it. He didn't say, "Gold, I'm going to take you 99% of the way, and then I'm going to expect you to do the other 1% yourself. I'd still have been lost. I could never have done the 1%. He didn't say, "Gold, I'm going to give you this golden chain of salvation, but I'm going to put on that golden chain a clasp of clay." Because He knew exactly where it would break every time, didn't He? If any part of my salvation was of me, then, beloved, I could lose it. I surely couldn't keep it. But Jesus says, "Come unto Me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." I want to say this to you. Rest in the midst of this world's storms. I'm, of course, very fortunate that I'm a preacher and the Lord doesn't send storms into the lives of preachers. Beloved, you have no idea. But I want to tell you the glorious truth that in the midst of life's most horrific storms, every believer is able to rest in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I don't care what your circumstances of life are. I don't care what your problems, your illnesses, your sicknesses. I do care, but in relation to the storms of life, Jesus says, "I will give you rest." And it's that ability to trust in Him. "Lord, I can't see tomorrow. I can't even see what's going to take place the remainder of today. But I'm not going to fret and I'm not going to worry. Because the Savior who finished the work of my salvation has promised that He'll take care of the everyday things of my life. Rest that one day will be complete when I arrive at last in the presence of my Savior. You see, this rest that He gives is eternal. I love to read John 17. And I love to read that verse where Jesus says, Father, I will that those that Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now that's precious. That He wants me to be there with Him and share glory with Him. But then He says this, that they may behold my glory. I want to tell you that's precious. But that's what He invites us to. It's not just to get saved for down here. It's to get saved and know that we have one who will walk through with us through every storm of life. And who, when the storms of life are over, He's going to take us right into heaven itself to be with Him and to behold His glory. I've only one sad thing to say to you this morning, other than the context of the verses. Jesus says, come unto me. And there may be someone in this meeting who has never come to Jesus Christ. And I want with all my heart to plead with you today. Don't leave your eternity in a state of danger. Don't leave your eternity in a state of uncertainty. Don't continue to labor under the burden of sin. Listen to the words of Jesus this morning as He speaks right into the very depth of your heart and He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. And He says a little later on, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My dear friend, I cannot encourage you enough that if you do not know Him, then realize that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that He invites you to come. And all you need to be is a sinner. And all you need to feel is the weight of your sins. And Jesus has promised that He wants to give you rest. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. If you're in this meeting this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, please don't leave with your eternity in a state of uncertainty. Give us the privilege of talking with you and showing you from the Word of God how that before you leave this place this morning, you can know that you have found rest in Christ. I'll be at the door. Other people will be available. Please listen to the words of Jesus as He says, come unto me. Father, we thank Thee that in the midst of the wickedness of this world, in the hardness and sinfulness of the human heart, we have heard again a message that comes from the very throne of heaven, from the very lips of the Christ of God, when He invites sinners to come.
Oh, Father, if there are those in this meeting this morning who do not know Him, we pray that You would be gracious to them and that You would save them. That You would bring them to the place this morning where they are willing by Thy Spirit to say yes to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Your Word. Bring us out again in the evening hour to hear what You would say to us again. Help us to remember that this is the Lord's Day. We give Thee thanks for all Thy goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.